reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crime. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Almost had to hear the homily from the back of the church. I remembered I left it in the sacristy at the beginning of Mass. There's a wonderful little magazine called the Catholic Digest. It's sort of the Catholic version of Reader's Digest. And they feature an article very often about why people join the Catholic Church, or if they've been away, why they come back to the church. And there was one article in there. It was about a young man who grew up very devout in the church. In fact, when he got a little older, he entered the seminary. But it was during the 1960s and all the turbulence that was going on then, and he got caught up in a lot of that, and he left the seminary, and eventually he also left the church, and even turned very negative towards the church. But, and I'll share from the article, it said, "Then came Holy Week and Good Friday of 1970. The young man, then 22 years old, was driving past the Catholic Church. Something prompted him to stop his car and go inside. He walked through the door, and the Good Friday Adoration of the Cross was beginning. He sat down in the very last pew. He watched people file up the aisle to reverence the cross while singing, 'Were you there when they crucified my Lord?' Then something remarkable happened." The young man writes, and this is the quote from the article, "Something inside me snapped, and I began to cry. Overcome with emotion, I remembered the peace I had felt years ago in the church. The simple faith I was witnessing now seemed more meaningful than what I had been professing. I got out of my seat and went down to kiss the cross." This story ties in very well with our readings for this feast of Christ the King, because the gospel describes also probably an irreligious and maybe even an angry young man whose life was also turned completely around on the very first Good Friday. And what turned that young person's life around was the same thing that turned around the life of the young ex-seminarian. It was the crucifixion of Christ. It was the crucifixion of Christ the King. And what the crucified Christ said to that young criminal on the cross, he also said to that young ex-seminarian, and says to each one of us, "Amen, I say to you, this day you will be with me." Jesus wants to deliver us from the darkness of this world. And as St. Paul wrote to the Colossians in that second reading today, wants to bring us and have us inherit the light of the Holy Ones. This time of the year is literally the darkest time of the year. It's not just because we turned the clocks back a few weeks ago, but actually the days are getting a little shorter each day until we come up to the winter solstice, which this year is probably going to be around December 22nd. But originally, when the church set up the calendar almost 2,000 years ago, the winter solstice was around a date called, you may have heard of it, December 25th. And the church chose that day to celebrate the coming of the light into the world at that first Christmas, to remind us through the symbol and through the reality of time that the darkness is overcome by the inbreaking of the King of Kings into our world. This is kind of an in-between time we're in between holidays. Is anyone still digesting your turkey? That wonderful celebration of Thanksgiving on Thursday. And then next Sunday, we're going to start with a wonderful festive season called Advent as we prepare for our next great feast, the Feast of Christmas. And we'll be getting the lights out. I see down at Wickham Park, they've got the festival lights up again. Soon we'll be seeing Christmas lights decorating homes, and even as it gets dark, the light will fill the darkness. I came across this cute little comic called The Family Circus. Little Billy is in there. It says, "I wish it was Thanksgiving so I could start wishing it's Christmas." Well, guess what our kids are starting to wish for already, aren't we, kids? But we're in that in-between time, a time when we gave thanks last Thursday for what we've already received. And then next Sunday, when we move into that time of Advent, when we look forward to preparing to celebrate that great feast of Christmas, and also for what God and others might still have in store for us. What gifts? And they're not just gifts that are in stores. Our liturgical year will end this week, and we will celebrate the church's new year next week with the first Sunday of Advent. And that's a very good time for us to look back on the past year and to give thanks, but also to look forward to what God still has in store for us in a season of expectation of Advent. The former Secretary General of the United Nations, Dag Hammarskjöld, wrote a beautiful little prayer. It says, "Lord, for what has been, thank you. For what will be, yes. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is mystery." We are in those in-between times. The times, as theologians said, we're in that time of already, but not yet. Our Lord Jesus has already come at that first Christmas, the first coming of Christ, but he's been not fully revealed in his glory until the second coming. Already, but not yet. Today we celebrate the feast of Christ the King, who is already in our presence as the people of God, in the Word, in sacraments, but not yet fully revealed as Christ the King of all creation, of all time, as the church has set by even setting our calendars by the years before Christ's birth and the years since Christ's birth. In the gospel, we hear one of those criminals hanging next to Jesus, whom tradition has called the good thief, a criminal who hung literally between two times, in between times, a time of condemnation and a time of redemption. Some have even said he was such a good thief that he even stole heaven. But no one really steals heaven, do they? We can only be invited in. And really, that's what Jesus does for the good thief and for all of us. The invitation is to come in. All we need to do is ask and then accept Jesus' invitation. St. Ambrose wrote, "The Lord always grants more than we ask. The good thief only asked for Jesus to remember him, but Jesus granted him much more. He granted him eternal paradise." The good thief honored Jesus when he seemed to be totally without honor. The only crown he wore was a crown of thorns. And today the church honors Jesus as the ultimate King of Kings. Jesus in turn honored the good thief next to him on the cross. good thief who in the eyes of the world was totally undeserving. But who of us deserves paradise? Who of us deserves whatever gifts God has given us? The good thief, in a way, is a patron saint for all of us. We are all sinners. But he's also a patron saint to us that shows us never to give up hope, even up to the last moment of our life. Someone told me the story, I haven't verified this, that John Wayne on his deathbed became a Catholic. All I know is he must like Catholics because he married three Catholic women. There's always hope, up to the last moment of our life. We can always pray at any moment of our life the prayer of the good thief, Lord, remember me. And Jesus' answer is always the same. I never forgot you, even if you forgot me. This last Sunday of the church's year is a good time for us to refocus and to re-remember the Lord in our life. So again, to re-invite the Lord, the King of Kings, into our life. And to reignite the light if it's gotten dim over the year or over the years. We can be with Christ right now. We don't have to wait till eternity. There are many ways that we can reignite the light if it's gotten dim. We offer many opportunities here in the parish, and obviously coming here to share liturgy every week is a wonderful way to continue to do that. We're in the process now of planning another retreat process for our parish that married couples can make together. We'll hopefully be offering that in January. Advent will be coming, and there'll be many opportunities for us to prepare for the coming of Christ at Christmas, but also the continued coming of Christ in our hearts. In Advent season, starting next Sunday, we will begin to prepare. We will put more lights out. I know we'll be going up to our attic to dig out the Christmas lights. And for some reason, they always seem to get themselves tangled up. Advent, though, is a good time for us to untangle the lights in our life. And if there's something breaking the circuit, to fix it. And we'll have an opportunity through the Sacrament of Reconciliation and our Advent celebrations especially to do that. I was down at the Festival of Lights in Wickham Park a few years ago when they were getting them started. And I was there when they were testing them, and they tried to get them started, and they had millions of lights, but nothing. And one of our parishioners was there who actually knew where the power box was. And so he ran over, opened the power box, and got the lights going. In the same way, that's what the good thief did on the cross. His light was almost out, but he turned to the source of all light, connected with Christ, and his light now shines for all eternity. The good thief turned to Christ, whom we turn to today as Christ the King. The Christ that Paul wrote about to the Colossians, the one who emptied himself on the cross so that we might enter into his fullness. That letter to the Colossians quotes a beautiful hymn that the catechumens would sing, those who were coming to baptism. They would sing just before their baptism. We have some of our catechumens here with us this morning. They are preparing to receive the light of Christ at baptism. But as they prepare, they also call all of us who have already been baptized to reignite the light, particularly if it's gotten weak. We might even be called what that ex-seminarian called himself in that story from Catholic Digest, become born again Christians, born again Catholics, or reignited Catholics. Today we're offered the opportunity, as we always are in liturgy, to open our hearts to Christ. Christ, who by not coming down from the cross to save himself, saved us. Christ, who makes peace not through shedding others' blood, but through shedding his own. Christ, who does not offer us the sour wine of the world, but the sweet-tasting wine of Eucharist. Soon we will be offered Eucharist, which means Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is something we don't do just once a year. we do every time we gather at Eucharist that means thanksgiving. So as we prepare to thank God again in Eucharist, let us pray with Dag Hammarskjöld that beautiful prayer. Lord, for all that has been, thank you. And for all that will be, thank you.